Hello everybody, you're listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 8th of July, 2018. Well, you're very welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're out there enjoying the sun, and by that of course I mean Rupert Murdoch's tabloid. They're bringing out great, you should frame every single one. And not only the cover, you should buy frames for every single page inside the whole Sun, because they're just churning out really great stuff at the moment, and I think it's just great. And we're all very excited that England are nudging forward in the World Cup. Irish people are in no way holding on to grudges of the past. Some people who might have family from England and love people from England still can't find it in themselves to root for England. And how could you? They're a bunch of bastards, and their jerseys are red with the blood of Irish children squeezed from their bodies by Cromwell. So that's why I think we have our hang-ups, but sure, it's only a game. It's only a little bit of fun. The heat wave is upon us, so I can't stress this enough. Remember to shave your pets in the heat wave, and if you've got any elderly relatives, go over and shave them too. Buzz cuts for everybody, because we don't know how long this is going to last. Knock on the door, say, "Granny, time for a haircut," and she'll say, "Oh, I'll get my bag and my coat. It'd be great to go down to the ladies in the salon, catch up on all the oh no, what are you doing to me at all? Oh goodness gracious me!" And it'll be a surprise. She won't like it, but not everyone enjoys a surprise party. We all remember the terrible, tragic passing of the mob boss at the beginning of Get Shorty. He's a man who has to scale a lot of stairs, and then when he gets to the top of the stairs, everyone says, "Surprise, mob boss, happy birthday," and doesn't have a blooming heart attack. Not a bad way to go, all things considered. Capone, of course, by the time they got him, his brain had been rotted by syphilis. His intellectual capacity, when it was running at full throttle, could just about conjure up a spit bubble, and he lived the last few years of his life. I think he was an assistant on a pony ranch, or not a nice one, like one next to a car park in a horrible part of town, and it's just been used to funnel money. I think Capone, for his last days, I think he was the replacement pony, if the pony was sick, or if there was someone too big who had hopped on top of the pony and broke its back, they'd say, "Hey Capone, hey, wake up, get out here," and then they put a saddle on him, and that's sadly how he wound up. So all things considered, the mob boss from Get Shorty, although he died, we all died, we're all going to die, why not get scared to death by all of our family? Anyway, surprises and all that, that's what I was talking about, and shaving your granny's head it's a sacrifice you're making, because she won't be happy with you. Don't bother with your grandfather, he'll be fine. Maybe burn his clothes, and so he's not getting too hot, because grandfathers love walking around in suits, three-piece bloody suits of woolen armour, and it's getting very hot, so just burn all their clothes, or make sure any elderly people you know are sleeping in baths. So baths of freezing cold water, so, because we all have to keep our eyes out for them. Also, children, shave their heads too. Buzz cuts, blade one, blade zero. I want it all gone. Anyone, your neighbours, maybe you don't have a relationship with them where you can storm into their house and shave their head and have them not call the police. You might have to find a way to bypass that, a mask perhaps. Go in, get their hair, get all the hair you can, and send it to Quigg's Wigs, courtesy of the Parish Hall, and it's all going towards a great, great charity organization I've been running for a while, where we're trying to get wigs for people in Africa who want wigs. So that's what we're working on at the moment. And also, shave your own head. And if you already don't have any hair, go break into houses, find bits off brushes. I can't do all the thinking for everyone here, but we need hair for these wigs, for Quigg's Wigs. We need them fast. So look into your heart, look into your hairbrush, look into the floor of your local hairdresser, and dig deep, give often to Quigg's Wigs. And with that little thing out of the way, we'll now jump into this week's sermon. And right before we do that, one other little announcement. I've been doing commentary for the World Cup for the parish, because I don't want them hearing about football from other people who are going to try and warp their brains, like that headbanger Ray Houghton or that alchemist George Hamilton. So Ray Houghton, George Hamilton, you won't be hearing you won't be hearing them on the radio in this parish. So I think I did a pretty good job. So if anyone's listening, hoping to replace those two head the balls, get in touch. And now on with this week's podcast. Okay, you're joining Quigg. It's the second half. Sorry if you've just been listening to nothing. The score is still England 1, Sweden 0. Oh God, I'm getting messages now from people that are complaining left, right and centre about how long it is that I've been away. I've been researching famous Swedes, as promised. I really ran out of steam in the first half. So I'm back. I've got some famous Swedes ready to talk about, and the match is going well. A guy called he's got handball, blatant handball. He's over at the sideline. He's looking around. He thinks the referee hasn't seen him. Well, I've seen you, Karp. And he's just thrown it to his mate, who kicked it back to him. And and it's gone out again. Nothing's happened at all. So during the second half, during the break rather, I was trying to get some signal on my phone, because as I was getting lots of text messages, they're going through all right, saying, "Quigg, shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. Quigg, why would you hijack the airways and make this the only thing that anyone can hear on the radio in the 10-mile locality?" Well, I'll tell you why. I don't like that you're all watching this foreign game to begin with, and I'm absolutely not having you listening to a commentary from people from Dublin. No. This has to be, if you're going to hear this, you're going to hear it through me. So here we are now. There's a lad from England, number 18. He's holding up his hands as if to say, "Give me a big hug." And no hug is forthcoming, because it's a free kick. He kicks the ball. It goes over everyone. His friend hits it out. And his other friend headballs it with his head. And it's been kicked in by another friend. But oh no, one of the linesmen. Oh no, there's loads of linesmen. Oh wait, no, sorry, that's the Swedish team. They have prevented it. Now a guy called Trippier is saying to the referee, "What's going on, ref? What did I do? Oh, what, me, governor?" And in that rascable English way. Please be seated. Now, we've all got World Cup fever, but we also have another sort of cup of the world that we should be fevered by, and that is the cup of Christ, and it's a gift to the world, and we should all be absolutely feverish with how exciting it's going to be when we all die and go to heaven, get to do whatever we want all the time, and we're not bound by the shackles of what is and what isn't considered polite in this snowflake society. Yes, that's right. In heaven, if you want to use terrible language all the time, if you want to scream at children crossing the street, to scream at them to stop so they might get hit by a car, if you want to kick a pigeon, if you want to just walk around and smash the shop window in, or use the N-word in rap songs, even though you shouldn't, and then insist that you're just singing the song and who are you to censor me. You can do all that stuff in heaven. So it's going to be great. One thing that's not great is people wasting tickets. That's right. A lot of the yes people, not content with having unleashed the four horsemen of the apocalypse on Ireland. That's right. As I speak, the four horsemen are purchasing their tickets via the Ryanair website. They're having to check in the horses as well as themselves. So it's going to cost a bit, but they've got a black credit card, like the head of the Bank of America and Jerry Seinfeld and another rich man or woman, but there's no women in the Four Horsemen. That's how old school they are. There's no equality. It's something that I don't think is it a less bitter pill to swallow or a less bitter swill to wallow if someone coming to destroy you is a lady. Who knows? Maybe you don't feel as bad. But these guys are four scary dudes, and the day the yes vote passed, they went, oh, looks like we're making a trip to Ireland, and they're coming here for a sort of it's like the stag to end all stags, that the stag that ends with everyone in Ireland dripping with blood. So thank you very much to our yes friends. So, not content with destroying the world, the little bit of time we have before that happens, they're hogging tickets for this great papal concert. And I think that's lame, Daddy-O. And here's why. If there were free tickets for, say, a band I don't like, let's just say, just for the sake of argument, the Michael Jackson's nephew's band 3T, right? If they're playing somewhere and I don't want to go and see them, I don't then reserve tickets to make sure that no one else can see them, because that's lame. No matter what the circumstances are. I had it done to me a few years ago. There was an electrocution that myself and Mick Lowry were very keen to see. And someone had, a family of the victim had blocked booked tickets. So we were there waiting a cancellation at the will call box, right beside the execution chamber, right beside the where Sparky was. That's what they called the chair. And they said, oh, well, there are seats free, but they're reserved. It's like, but they're not here now. It's like, well, they might be here just before. It's like, well, we'll leave if they come, or can we not just stand at the back? Anyway, look, my message is, don't block book tickets for something you don't want to go to. There's a story of a very gentle man who came to Earth and just wanted to spread love and kindness. And that man's name was Bobcat Goldthwait. And he did the old funny voices, and he was doing the stand-up, and he was in the Police Academy movies, and then he was going out with a pretty lady called Nikki Cox, I think. She was in sitcoms like Happily Ever After, and they were going out, and they were having a nice romance, and then the bald Jay Moore swooped in. And himself and Nikki became an item. And not content with that, whenever Bobcat would go on the road, there would always be 30 tickets booked, but no one would show up, and that was all done by Jay Moore, a real prize prick. So don't be like Jay Moore, be like Jay Christ, and don't book tickets for something you don't want to go to just to stop other people from going to it. Okay, I have to cut back in now because the Reds are having a go, but the Yellows are saying, not today, Reds, and knocking it out. And the man in black is pointing around and whistling at them. And, of course, all these footballers, very ignorant men, brains like dogs, so they've ears, respond to whistles more so than they would to an intelligent person. But only the referee has a special whistle that makes all the footballers stop and go, "Who?" And that pacifies them. And the score, Sweden 0, England 1. I had a list of famous Swedes earlier on. PewDiePie, YouTube star, he'll be rooting for the boys in yellow today. Yellow shirts, yellow hair, yellow bellies. Well, it's nil to they're down, what they're losing. So, you know, can't call them cowards. They're still on the pitch. They didn't storm off after England got their goal. That goal, of course, scored by an Irish pitch invader who'd made his own shirt, God love him, called Maguire. Like one of those people who was proud to fight for England in the First World War, and the Reds are in the Yellows' box, and the Yellows once again are saying, "Not today, Reds." And oh, but the Reds are saying, "Well, we'll see. We've already been in there once so far." Number 10 for the Reds passes it to his little friend, passes it to his other little friend, but there's too many, and I think that's a linesman. That is a linesman. Oh my God, the ball's been kicked miles wide. What a shit show. Why do you even bother? This week I've been thinking a lot about the three wise men. It's hard not to while watching the RTE football coverage. And it gave me thought to pause and think and consider, what the hell were the original three wise men up to? So you've got three lads, middle of the night, barge into a stable, they got a load of gear on them, and then in a panic they say, they look down, they see there's a woman there and her new baby and the baby's daddy and an old donkey observing the whole thing, and they panic and say, hi, all this stuff is for your baby, and they put it down. Then they leave. I wonder what they were up to. I mean, we know what they were really up to. They were there to give Christ presents for being born. And they'd followed a star, and it was over this one particular shed. They all went into the shed and they gave the baby some things. And we didn't hear what happened to them either. I bet they're all squandered. The gold, of course, they should have just buried that gold or put it in a bank. Let that accrue interest. You can't go wrong with gold. Frankincense, if you want to have the essence of a Frank, then go for it. Of course, the Frank is the old French currency before the euro. And it was a painted note of a couple having a threesome with their landlady, and it had a distinct smell that you could smell of, but and the myrrh, cards on the table. I don't know what myrrh is. Maybe it's got something of Bill Murray. Yeah, maybe it was a little figurine of Bill Murray. It's a little Ghostbuster thing. So, okay, we've got three men in this stable in the middle of the night. Little Babo there. And but on paper, it does seem a bit, it seems odd. So were they meeting up to exchange this stuff? Were they meeting up to do something together? Maybe something to the donkey. Thank God. God saw fit for his son to be born in that case. He saved that donkey, whatever it was these three so-called wise men were doing. Because, of course, there was another wise man, and his name is Dennis Wise. And he's a football boy, but much like a lady with the name Prudence, who's a bit of a blabbermouth, Dennis Wise's name does not suit his personality. And needless to say, when he brought up that maybe these three wise men were dogging, I said, Dennis, you just never know when to keep your mouth shut. So, yeah, who were the three wise men? They were three wise men who gave Jesus some stuff. And if anyone has any questions about that, pray to God, and then the next day look around, and if you see a cluster of birds, look at them, decipher some meaning from their formation, and there you will have your answer. Now the Reds are coming down on the linesman. They think that they're so big because red is the colour of candles on cakes, and people like candles. But if you blow out the red, there's only smoke, and you can make a wish, and the Swedish wish would be to have three goals before the end of this match. Can they do it? There's 27 minutes left. They're 2-0 down. Can they do it? Yeah, they think they can do it. So, let's get behind these linesmen. And there's Gareth Southgate again, wearing a waistcoat, thinking he's Nash Bridges. He's not Nash Bridges. Of course, he's the right Gareth Southgate. There's a fake Gareth Southgate at the moment. At home in England, looking after the papas and looking after the house and making sure the missus is happy. And he's doing a bang-up job. And we all say hello if he's listening, fake Gareth Southgate. And to Mrs. Southgate and the little Southgateans. That Papa Southgate, a.k.a. the real Gareth Southgate, will be coming home soon, but hopefully not too soon. And here they are, the Red Devils. They've got the ball. There's a yellow lad in his way. Will he stop him? He will a bit, but now the yellow lad's friends called in. Cavalry time, boys. Don't worry, I'm here to help you. And the ball's gone out in a big sort of a mess. And it's unclear, is it going to be a free, or is it just a good old-fashioned corner ball? Of course, corner balls, they don't work because they've got corners in them. No, what you have there is a box. So I don't know why the corner ball is the ball used for the corner. I'm glad they don't use an actual corner ball because that'd just be kicking a leather box. Oh, and the ball's gone in and Noah's got it. If that was a leather box of a ball, someone would have had it. But alas, they did not have it. Technology has not yet caught up to that fantastical dream of a square leather ball in the World Cup. I suppose it would be like kicking a sort of a footrest around a pitch. And one can only imagine the fantastic way that that would liven up the already beautiful game. Now, I've heard bits and pieces about this Thai cave thing. Between the Thai caves and the American child cages, I can't keep up with all the different creative ways that we're finding to contain children. It's funny that this Thai cave thing happened not less than a few weeks after my... it was hardly even 2 weeks ago. I was in Thailand just around the time when Mick Lowry, who has been exonerated since, thank goodness... he was in a spot of bother, and we were looking for a little bit of a sort of a kind of a, holiday home from Mick inside this thigh cave network should the vote not go his way. Now, luckily the vote did go his way, and I didn't have to use any of the extreme measures that I'd put in place to keep Mike Lowry, TD, my best friend, to keep him out of the clink. In fact, I was able to sell on one of my escape plans to this French fella, who now is, as they say in France, out of the clink. He is outré. He has got liberté, égalité, and equality out of the clinké. Yeah, that is to say, it's no longer inside the jail because an ingenious plan devised by some great priest who created this sort of thing, whose name I won't mention, devised a way for two lads to heli-poop in there, dressed like stormtroopers from Star Wars, but only dressed, you know, like real life. You know, if you saw two stormtroopers in the jail, you know, you'd assume... well, I don't know what you'd assume. Maybe you'd assume, oh, these stormtroopers, I wonder what they did to get in here. I wonder what their racket was. I was not boasting, but had Mick Lowry gone to jail, that's how Mick Lowry would have gotten out of jail. And these Thai caves would have been where he lived. So I was there only a few days ago. And I did encounter, while I was walking around, because I'm quite tall and quite skinny, and I was walking around the caves, and who should I happen upon but a load of young lads and their teacher. And they turned around, they were just about to leave, and they saw me walking towards them. Every single one of them screamed and ran away, and it was then that I saw a bat behind me, and I know that bats and boys don't mix, so I started running towards the boys. I reckon that in the moment I thought they were afraid of the bat, but thinking back on it now, if I was a little boy and I saw an 8 foot tall skinny man running towards me yelling in a language I didn't understand, with a face like death and eyes blacker than the blackest part of the cave, that would give me the heebie-jeebies. But, you know, if I had an overactive imagination, I get on grand with kids, really. Hardly any of them burst into tears when I'm around, and I've stopped creeping around corners. See? I can learn to evolve, too. Myself and my paramour, Liz H., we've been doing some couples counselling stuff recently, and I'm learning all sorts of new things. Not to peer over walls, and of course, to stop driving with my head sticking out of the sunroof. That makes people uncomfortable. Because I'd always deliberately get a smaller car than what I need. So most of my body sticking out of the sunroof, when I can just glare around. And of course the big one, stop creeping round corners. I'm definitely cutting down on that. But I can't help but think, these young lads, maybe they ran away and encountered another bunch of young lads, these kids who got lost, and said, "There's a bat back there. Run!" And that's the mess that they ended up in that. And I sympathise with them, because you know, we were trying to... I was in a panic because I had to try and build a luxury apartment somewhere inside this cave for Mick Lowry to lay low in while we were getting his plastic surgery ready. And... I have sympathy for them, all these kids, you know. So I was in a similar situation a few years ago with the Norwegian women's weightlifting team in a sauna. We were there. We were in Mar-a-Lago, and the South Korean male gymnasts came in. They were a bit pulley with the door, the last one, and basically it got stuck. So we're all in this sauna for 5 hours. It was pretty small. It was about the size of a double bed. There was me, Helga, Olga, Sarah, Zara, and then there were the South Korean boys. I'm not great with names, so I just gave them nicknames. I called one of them Mick and the other guy Lowry. And we're banging on the door and trying to get out for ages. And then disaster struck. See, we were there for, it was coming up to the Olympics, and this was supposed to be the relaxation time. And hadn't someone from the Olympic Committee, they'd given everyone love potions in little glass capsules. And while we were banging on the door, one of them fell and broke open. And the pink vapour from inside took over the room. And before we knew it, the whole place was just a mass of flesh. And, yeah, I blacked out when I came to. I was in hospital 3 weeks later, and I'd missed all of the Olympics. But it's a small price to pay we're friends for life, all those people I mentioned. I don't have to mention them again. You know them. I don't have to list them again. They're close to my heart. I know their names better than I know the names of my own children. Names of my own siblings, yeah. And I hope you'll all join me now and pause the podcast for a moment, and we'll just say a quick blast of the rosary for all those kids stuck in the cave in Thailand. And the ball's coming in, and it's gone to no one, and they've stopped play. I think that might be the end of the game now. We're at 71 minutes. Everyone's looking very tired. Someone's having a chat with the referee there. I think he's saying, "We're all exhausted, ref. Let's just go home." The referee's looking at the clock. He's thinking, "I wouldn't mind going home early, beat the traffic." And it's unpopular, though. A lot of the fans are there saying, "No, keep playing. We want to be entertained by your football game." And God love them, so that they're going to continue playing. Fantastic sportsmanship. And the ball's gone up. High kicky ball. And it's gone heady boop off this lad, kicky boop off this boy. And now there's lots of them going for it, and it's scrambled as an egg in a scramble factory. And the kicky ball boy go over there to get the ball now. And but no, the man who lives in the goal, he kick it out to his friend, and he's going to kicky ball it up to the man who he is pointing with his leg. And then the ball is now pointing itself at the man, and he is going to kicky ball to this boy. But he's like, "No, I want it now. It is my turn to be the kicky ball boy." And the ball is kicked. The kicky ball is gone up, and the kicky ball is not in its house. It is not in its house. It is still trying to get into its house. There is a yellow man in front of them trying to stop them, and now a red man, and there's more yellow men with their yellow shirts running at them, saying, "This ball's not going into this home." And these red guys saying, "It must go home. It has to go home. It is imperative that this kicky ball go back to his kicky hole and to his kicky home to have his kicky tea with his kicky mam and be tucked up in a kicky bed and read a kicky story." And the red ball boys are going to try and kick it in, but the spoil sport yellows, they've kicked somebody down. You're not supposed to kicky someone in their leg. That's what they're supposed to kicky the kicky ball with. And now that they're down, they cannot kick the kicky ball anymore. And they're going to say, "No more of that, Buster." And they're pointing at the ground as if to say, "We can never let this happen again." Maybe after the match there'll be a statue built to show that this is a site where the man got kicked in the leg during the kickball and not the ball. and that we cannot as a society allow this in good conscience to happen again. They'll have to start a sort of a League of Football Nations that would then become a sort of a football UN and ensure this never happens again. They're all hugging and having a good time, pretending that everything's just fine. That's really the attitude we need after such a horrible display of unprofessional, illegal kicky ball in the wrong hole, league kick instead of the goal. I saw the trans rights people were having a march the other day, and if they're so inclusive, I'd like to know why they didn't include my float, because I'm trying in my own way to make a difference in this headbangery world, and I'm just trying to reclaim the word trans for transphobes, and them not allowing me to do that is, if you ask me, pretty whack. And that's about it for this week's Sunday sermon. Enjoy the good weather, enjoy good company. If you're not enjoying company of people you're with, get new people, start your own company, start a company called I'm Good Company. Have people come and audition to be your friends, and really don't let someone put you in the position that you're putting them in. Say, I'm auditioning you, not the other way around. I've already established that I'm good company. Read the name of my company listing. Look how many endorsements I have on LinkedIn for being good company. And the more I say it, the more it sounds like an escort service. So don't do any of that. Look, take care of yourself. Take care of those around you. And in the meantime, God bless you. God bless me. And please rise for the homily. You've been listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast by Giles Brody. You can follow me on Twitter at Giles Brody. Special thanks to Conor O'Toole, Emma Keaveney, and Jeremy O'Brien. Touching my face, oh.